Encourage you to turn with me to the book of Philippians. We're in chapter 3, verses 17 through 21 this morning, and we're going to be dealing with the subject of models. Models. There is much today that is spoken concerning role models, and the Apostle Paul in this passage goes to putting forth himself as a model for the church to follow in regard to the teaching that he was sharing with the church. I want to begin reading at verse 17. We'll read through the end of the chapter. As we consider role models, choose wisely. Role models, choose wisely. Verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Father in heaven, we thank You for the privilege of meeting in this place today, to open Your Word and to have You instruct us by Your Holy Spirit concerning this teaching that came through the ministry of the Apostle Paul by pen of inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that You would work in such a way in our hearts today that we might examine what role models we are following, who we are following, those that we set in high esteem. Lord, I pray that they might be found rooted in the Scripture and not rooted in false teaching. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Recently, I was in Pensacola, and many are familiar with the businessman Quint Studer, who has a very large business model that he operates and teaches all around the country. He has the Studer Children's Hospital over in Pensacola. He has rescued many hospitals around the country, helping them to get back on good financial footing, and very gifted in that regard. And he holds leadership conferences. And I was walking through a building, and there was a quote that was above a door by Quint Studer, and it said, model the behavior you want others to exhibit. Model the behavior you want others to exhibit. You know, that's a biblical thought. That's a biblical truth. I don't know that he realizes that, but it's a good one. And I think it's important for us to understand that the Apostle Paul set up himself as a model by the Holy Spirit of God. In other places, we find him doing the same thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. There was a kind of a debate that went on this week on Facebook between two leaders in fundamental Christianity, where we were kind of going back and forth. They weren't ugly or anything of that nature, but one was saying, we should never follow men, and one of the leaders put up, well, what do you do with 1 Corinthians 11:1? And he quoted it there, and then there was silence on Facebook. Then there was other, well, that's a different context. And he said, well, it was a different context. Because Paul makes it very clear, you follow me even as I follow whom? Christ. So he put a caveat there to make it clear, as long as I'm following Christ, you be following me. So it's all right to do that with godly individuals, whether they be a man or a woman who want to follow Christ and are following Christ. That should be one of the standards that you set in place before you make an individual a model or an example in your life. Are they following whom? Christ. Some people follow others because they're powerful. Some people follow others because they're popular, or maybe they're a sports star, or maybe they're somebody that's in politics. I can't think of a one, to be honest with you. But there are many that find a certain politician and they just want to follow them and they want to copycat whatever they're doing. I want to tell you something. Young person here today, a child that may be present, or an adult, before you follow somebody or set them up as a model or an example in your life, you ask this question. Are they following after Christ? If there is doubt, don't follow them. Don't come up with this, well, I think they are. Oh, that's good. You think they're following Christ, so you're going to follow them. Is that good enough? I think the pilot knows how to fly this jet. Now, how does that work for you? I saw on a recent flight a very young individual. Now, everybody's looking younger by the day to me. But this young guy, I mean, he was thin, young, came in. His pilot outfit looked a little loose on him, like he was, you know, they got the wrong size for him. And he walked up there and was shaking the head pilot. And the stewardess said, well, I'm here, I'm co-pilot today. And I looked at him and said, boy, he's young. Is he even out of high school yet? Everybody looks young to me. And how many of you view, you know, young people like that? You see somebody, and they may be 35 years old, but they look like they're just out of high school. And you say, I wonder how many flight hours he has. All right? I wonder if he's ever flown a 737. Okay? I was on a 737-900, which is a little bit better. I wonder if he's ever flown that. Now, is there anything I can do about it at this point? Well, before the door closes, I could just leave. All right? I don't know whether... But am I really a good judge of airline pilots? Okay, I can't even fly one of those little balsa wood gliders. Even as a kid, I would throw it and it'd just go nosedive into the ground. So I started buying the ones with the rubber band and the propeller. How many of you bought some of those when you were growing up? And you'd wind it up and you'd set it on the picnic table and you'd let it go. It'd go for a little bit right down in the dirt. I can't even fly one of those. I'm not a very good judge of pilots. Now, we've got one with us today. We've got several pilots in here. But we got one that flew routes to Peru, Brazil, flew to South America on a regular basis. He said he could fly it in his sleep. Now, that's not a good quality to have. You can fly it. I don't want him sleeping. But he's alive today. Amen. Brother Lynn's alive. He's made all those flights through the years. Praise the Lord. Brother John flew his last flight into an airport and they had the hoses going and he flew his airplane through there and he had made his final flight for the United States government. Came out of the airplane, they hosed him down and all the things that they do to a pilot, and he's alive today. Amen, Brother John? You are alive? All right, amen. And he flew those P-3s and flew all those other big planes and finally on that last one landed it. And he walked out having retired from the United States military as a pilot. He did everything right. Not everybody gets to retire. Some of them die in the process. I was thinking about those missionary families down in Haiti. I've been praying for them every day. Two husbands that passed away on an airplane crash near Jacmel, Haiti, just arrived at the airport. And had gotten their wives and children on another flight to fly from the airport there over to Jacmel, a smaller airplane, but they couldn't get everything on board, so they just got the kids and the wives. They flew off, landed safely. They loaded all the supplies that they had brought back from the United States to once again restart the ministry there in Jacmel. Took off, and as they were approaching, something happened. I don't know. There were high winds aloft because of the hurricane that was out, the tropical storm. That may have been what caused it. I haven't determined yet. But it crashed and killed six people and took with it all the supplies that they had brought back from the United States. I don't understand all the things that are there, but it may have been pilot error. It may have been high winds aloft. Who knows at this particular point the reason? Now, I share this because I think about what model would I want of an airline pilot. I want somebody who's sober. Amen? I want somebody that has a lot of flight hours. Number three, I want somebody that knows the airplane that they're flying. So they're not saying, now, where's this button at? Where's this gadget? You don't want that question being asked up in the cockpit when you've got, 150 people sitting behind you there, listening to their music or reading a book, thinking we're okay, and they're up there saying, now, where's the landing gear lever on this thing? How many of you think the landing gear lever is pretty important to know where it's at? All right? I don't want to do a belly flop on water or land. I want it to land smoothly. There's been a few times on landings that I wondered. We'd bounce down the, and you're up and down, boom, boom. My wife and I flew on a flight from Boston, Massachusetts, up to Portland, Maine one time on a 9-seater aircraft. It was so tiny. Single row of seats. And we were there and we watched the wings go up and down like this. And there was no door between us and the pilot, so we could see them looking at each other. And you could hear them talking up there. And I was back there in the back praying. I was praying, Lord, we're supposed to get married. Lord, would you please make sure we get to our destination? That we'll be able to get married. And those wings were just going up and down. We had turbulence. And I was praying for those pilots up there that they knew what they were doing to get that tiny little airplane to Portland, Maine. And the Lord did, thankfully. And we had no trouble. We got married 29 years ago. So, what model airline pilot do you want to have? Whatever. Do you realize that that word gets used more often than it should be? Really, for the Christian, it's a word that you really shouldn't utter when it comes to spirit. Whatever. Whatever. I don't care. Get on an airplane. I don't care. Listen, what is wrong with you? That's my first. What's wrong with you? You have a whatever attitude? I guarantee they don't have a whatever attitude about the food that comes out at the restaurant that they're buying. Whatever. I don't care whether the steak's cooked or not. I don't care if the food's this, that, or the other. All right, well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. My statement is this, folks. What are you choosing for a role model for your life? Paul says in this passage, be followers of me. Now, Paul was a very humble man, and he does not write this with any kind of pride and arrogance. And I think this is important for us to point out. He wrote this by pen of inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Can you be an example to others as a follower of Christ? Or are you another type of role model? And we see this brought out in this passage of Scripture. We see the false models that are given. Notice this, please, in verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. Paul was broken over this group, which he calls the many. The many who walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Now he was warning the church at Philippi about a group, and he calls them the many. They're not just a few of these. There are a lot of these role models who are actually enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, how do you become an enemy of the cross of Christ? The cross was a horrible instrument of death. There was nothing pleasant about a cross. When a cross was taken down, it was covered with the bodily fluids and blood of the victims who died on that cross. The ground would be saturated with all of the awfulness of the death that was involved. I never want to paint a nice picture of the cross. The crosses that we see today, I hope, are pictured empty, not with someone on it. But the crosses that we see today are made out of silver and gold and all kinds of stuff. But I want to tell you something. The cross was ugly. It was ugly. And Paul said there are many who serve as enemies of that cross. They don't like the cross, but they don't like the one who died on that cross. And that's important for us to see. They are enemies of the cross of Christ. Get that association. They are religious people who are enemies of the cross of Christ. They've been in the news lately. A lot of these religious leaders that are promoting these heinous philosophies and theories of our time, trying to somehow wedge them into the Bible. There's a great conflict going on about a brand new translation of the Bible that's supposed to be gender inclusive. All right? Going back and rewriting the Scripture so it fits the mentality of the age. Is that a Bible to be trusted? No, it's not. But that's what are they? They're enemies of the cross. Now let me tell you something, Christian. You can't bury your head in the sand. You can't walk along and have this positive attitude about everybody. Everybody's a child of God. No, they're not. Can I just say this again? I'm not talking about we go around being ugly to people, but you have to understand something from the Scripture. There are many people who say they are believers and they're actually enemies of the cross. You've got to be discerning. You've got to be careful. Before you wrap your arms around somebody, they may be a false teacher. And Paul says there are many who walk this way. They are enemies of the cross. They're a false role model. Don't choose a role model that is false. Notice how the Lord describes him through the Apostle Paul here. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. I want you to notice these things. Let me read to you from the New Testament in modern English, J.B. Phillips. It was translated in 1948. These men are heading for utter destruction. Their God is their, now get this, their God is their own appetite. Their pride is in what they should be ashamed of. And this world is the limit of their horizon. Now get the meaning behind these words that the Apostle Paul, whose end is destruction. Is that a positive conclusion for these false role models? No, it's not. You can't say, well, there's a spark of divinity in them. God says there's not. Their end is destruction. Their God is their own appetite. What is that? Self-indulgence and materialism. And we can put many other things on this matter of appetite. Appetite simply is the things that you think will satisfy your hunger. The things that you think will satisfy your hunger. And it doesn't, we're not talking about food here. We're talking about the hunger and desires of the flesh and of life. When you allow your appetite, your belly, as he uses this, simply is the word appetite. When you allow that to dictate the decisions of your life, you're going to come out at the wrong place. When we were in the Philippines, I took a trip there on one of the islands there. They have an underground cave. And the only way that you can access this underground cave is by boat. And you row in. So we went in there, and you go in through this big cave opening in the water, and you go from sunshine outside to complete and total pitch darkness. Complete darkness. It goes back, it actually goes all the way through the other side of the island. But you can't get out because the water is above the opening. You'd have to jump out of the boat and dive and go under, which I would never do. Okay? Because I was clinging to both sides of that tiny little canoe that we were going through. All right? And you hear these screeching sounds. Bats. All right? And you would feel them fly by your head. All right? And all I was thinking is, where do we turn around? All right? I couldn't even see where to turn around. And I said, oh, I've got my cell phone. And then I began to think, what if I drop my cell phone in the water? Okay? Because we're in this little teeny tiny shiver of a boat with a little float out to the side to keep us from flipping over. And I'm trying to row and hold the light out there, and I just finally gave up. And I just said, all right, Lord, you're just going to have to figure this out for us. I'm trusting the people in the back that they know what they're going. So we spent about 45 minutes making our way through total pitch darkness. And then finally, they turned us around in this big cavern room, and we worked away, and you could see the light way off in the distance. Now, I had a very strong appetite at that moment. And you know what my appetite was? Lord, get us back to the opening. All right? Get us back to the opening. When we were going back, I heard this splash. All right? Now, you can't see anything. You just see the light way off. And I heard this splash, and I thought the worst. There's a massive shark in here. All right? Not only may we drown with this thing sinking, but we'll be eaten alive. You think the worst when you're in pitch total darkness. My appetite was, let's get this tiny little boat back out where I can get out. Now, I had on a life vest, all right? And I had that on, but you know what? A little tiny orange life vest, I wasn't really interested in trying it out. I just wanted to get out. That was my strong desire. Now, that's a good desire when you're in a doubtful place. But when you allow the flesh to dictate your decisions, you're in trouble from the start. You're in trouble from the start because you have a false role model ahead of you. What's the second thing that's mentioned here? Not only about the appetites ruling, but the pride. Pride in what? Things they ought to be ashamed of. One of the marks of this generation in which we live is that there's little shame anymore. There used to be shame when you did something wrong. There used to be shame when you heard a foul word. There used to be shame. But today, we have Christian leaders that say, it's okay to cuss. It's all right. To use scatological, it's all right. Anything goes today. I'm afraid not. I'm afraid not. The Bible hasn't changed. People think differently from the Bible because they're following false role models. They set up people in their lives that think that way. I want to be like them. God help you. Paul says, be followers of me even as I am a follower of Christ. Don't allow your pride to cause you not to be ashamed when you should be. Oh, I could give you 1,000 illustrations of my life growing up. Things that I did, I was so ashamed of. We all look back and we say, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't said that. But when you get to the place in your life where it doesn't bother you to look back, hey, I don't care what I said. They probably deserved it at the time. Something's wrong with you. You're not ashamed anymore. Shame is a missing element today, and it should be part and parcel of a believer's life. These individuals who are false role models gloried in the things they should have been ashamed of. Why is that? Because this book doesn't mean a whole lot. It's nice to carry it around, talk about it, but when it comes to following the principles of this book, all of a sudden we get amnesia. Don't remember those anymore. Because we're with a certain group of people, they talk this way, and I want to be a part of this group of people. Then when I move over to this group, they think another way, and I talk like them. And then when there's another group over here, and I'm like that, what are you? You're a hypocrite. You're just like a chameleon. You fit in wherever you're at. God help us. We're choosing the wrong role models. We ought to be the same. One of the things that I read this past week of the life of Joe Malakow, just a humble pastor in the Philippines, serving God, founded the church there. It's grown into a large ministry, Christian school. They've planted 16 churches in the mountains. Just a humble man of God. And over again, as you read through the Facebook posts of individuals whose lives were impacted by this very short man, who was only 5 foot tall, but yet had an impact in lives, and over again said he was the most consistent man I knew. No matter where you saw him, no matter where you met him, he was always the same. Always the same. Praise God! He didn't allow his pride to keep him from being ashamed of things he ought to be ashamed of. He allowed his life to be used of God. Third thing here. This world, notice please, becomes the thing, the focus of a false role model's life. How the world operates. This world, the culture, the entertainment, the aspirations is the limit of their horizon. That's a pretty low limit, is it not? You know, the Bible tells us to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. There's often times when I'm out walking at night or whatever, I look up into the heavens and you see the vast horizons and stars that are light years away. And the light is reaching us, and realize that there's a God behind all of that. On the galaxies that are beyond my sight, millions of them, created by God Almighty. And yet I choose to make this earth my horizon. Let me tell you something, believer. When you follow a false role model, you're lowering your horizon from the hills from whence cometh your help, and you're bringing it down to just earthly things, earthly people, earthly aspirations, earthly entertainment, and that becomes the whole focus of your life. God help you! You're following a false role model. And it will bring you to utter destruction. But I thank God for the positive role model that's given to us here in this passage in verses 20 through 21. God tells us about the false role models, but then He tells us about the true role model that we're to follow. Notice this, please. For our conversation or our manner of life is in what location? Heaven. Wow. You talk about a contrast? Our manner of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the, everybody say it please, Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see, first of all, that the true model is heaven-centered and Christ-centered. Heaven-centered and Christ-centered. Centered. If you have conversations with people and you never hear about heaven, something's going on in their life. I'm not saying that we ought to talk about heaven, but when you never talk about heaven and all you talk about is the earth and the things of this earth and what we're going to do here and what we're going to do there, we never talk about the fact that Jesus Christ could come back at any moment and snatch us away before we do all these things we want to do. We never talk about that. Something's wrong with your role model. We're a heavenly people. Amen? When we were changed and transformed by Jesus Christ, we were moved from being earthly-centered people to heavenly-centered people. That's a huge transformation. I'm no longer thinking the way I used to think, but now I'm thinking differently. I'm thinking about my Savior, who's at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for you and for me. And the fact that one day I'm going to get to be with Him. But there are people that never think those thoughts. They're so involved in this earth, so involved in the things of this earth that heaven and Christ are just basically afterthoughts when they should be primary thoughts. That means that you're following a false role model rather than a true role model. Notice this as we continue in verse 20. I'm almost done. For our manner of life is in heaven, from whence also, now get this key word, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you looking for the Lord? Are you looking for the Lord? I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a time, and I don't know how soon it will be. There's going to be a time, Christian, when the trumpet's going to sound. I don't know how it will be. I don't know what it's going to sound like. I hope it sounds better than the way I play. But I don't know if it's going to be a burst of sound or if it's going to be like a voice that speaks from heaven that's like a trumpet. But it's going to be, come up hither! And we'll be snatched off this earthly scene. How many of you have played in your minds that event and what it might look like, how it might happen? I find myself, as the days go on, because I'm getting older, and you start thinking about these things more if you're a child of God, because you're much closer to the death side than you are to the being born side. And you think about it, Lord, when are you coming? And when will that moment take place? And how will it all work out? The Word of God's given us a little hint to what's going to happen. The trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. They'll get their new bodies. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And what's the next part? So shall we ever be with the Lord. Are you looking for Him? You see, when you're following the true role model, which is Jesus Christ, it's heaven-centered, Christ-centered, you're looking for Him. You're looking for Him. When are you coming, Lord? Maybe today. I love that song. Maybe today my Lord will come for me. Maybe today I'll be able to be with Him for all eternity. Oh, it's a beautiful song that draws out for us the picture of heaven. But some people will be disappointed. I didn't get to do this. I didn't get to do that. I'm going to tell you something. The true child of God will never be disappointed. But there are a lot of false followers. Notice verse 21. Who shall change our what kind of body? Vile body. Do you realize that the whole world is geared toward making our bodies not vile, but something else? All these people that are so infatuated with beauty, constantly focusing on themselves. You know, it's an amazing thing to watch people. Watch people in an airport. I've sat in airports and I've watched people. And they'll be all over there. You know, I'm in the airport. All right? I'm sitting in a chair. Okay? Hey, look, a flight attendant. You know? And it's just constant, constant, constant. And to me, I said, boy, I don't want anybody to see a picture of myself. When I see a camera, I start running. I don't want to be photographed. That's just me. And it's all right to do that from time, but some people can't. They get up in the morning, click, this is me getting up. Okay. Sleepy seat and all. Crinkly hair. Here I am, starting another day. We don't want to see it. What is that? It's self-focus. Self-focus. We ought to be Christ-focused. Final thought. His resurrection power is our model. Notice this. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. You know what we call that? We call that the resurrection. Amen? We call that the resurrection. We get a new body like His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. He's going to take this old vile body and He's going to make it into a glorious body that will last for all eternity. And it's guaranteed, it's sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day when we stand in His presence, not on our merits, but on the merits of Jesus Christ. I think about what Paul wrote in Acts 26 and verse 8 as we close. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? A lot of people mock Christians because we believe in a resurrection. And yet this world will believe in evolution. Okay? And the craziness of theories that people invent and make up, they'll believe that any day. But you talk about a resurrection from the dead, all you stupid Christians. Paul dealt with that. He said, why do you think it an incredible thing that God should raise the dead. But you don't think it's an incredible thing to believe that we came up as slime out of the water and were formed into some kind of a human being on our own volition. You can believe that, but you can't believe that God can change us and make us like His glorious image and body. What's the difference? It's the role model you follow. Those that believe evolution and those that believe all these crazy theories out there, they're following a different role model. And so I end the message this way today, folks. Whose role model are you following? Would you be honest? God calls us to be honest. Paul says, "Be ye followers of me." How could he say that? Because he was a follower of Christ. We need to examine our lives and we need to weigh these things. What am I setting up in my life as something or someone to follow? And if you're not following Christ and His Word, you're not heaven-centered, you're not Christ-centered, then you need to get right with God this morning. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I thank You for Your precious Word. Lord, You've established a glorious model for us as believers. The model of Your Son, Jesus Christ. The one who the Apostle Paul followed and said, "Be even followers of me because I follow Jesus Christ." Lord, we're living in a day where we have a multiplicity of all kinds of false role models. Sometimes they have Christian badges. Sometimes they're very religious. They're just not right. I pray that You would work in our hearts and lives, that this morning we would examine ourselves and we would ask ourselves the question and come up with the right answer of, who am I following? Am I following a group that seeks to mind earthly things, that's so enthralled with what we can get out of this world, so enthralled with the things that in reality, eternally speaking, mean very little? They'll all pass away. They'll all be destroyed and burned up. Or are we followers of Christ? Lord, I pray that You would do a work this morning. Lord, You burden my heart with this message from this passage of Scripture, and I pray that You might do a powerful work in hearts and lives. No doubt, there are some here this morning who will say, "I'm following a false role model, and I need to get right with God." Would You, dear Father, work in such a way that they would cry out to Thee in this very moment and get things right with Thee. Purge their lives of all that is false and grab a hold of Jesus Christ, who alone is true. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.